Well, I was very pleased that our first questioner reminded us that a lot of nice people work in corporations. And I think that's very important to keep in mind. Certainly from my standpoint, my attack is not on the people in corporations, it is on the structure of the corporation. And, you know, another question was raised about structure. Here's the issue. Unlimited size. We need limits on size. Two is, it's specifically the publicly traded corporation. It's the corporation whose shares are sold in public stock markets and subject to rapid turnover, and whereby the structure of the system, the firm, because the shareholders are faceless and absentee, there is no opportunity for the interjection of human sensibility in the decisions made by the corporation. So we must eliminate absentee ownership. That means every enterprise should be owned by people who have a variety of interests in the firm, including their jobs and their community and so forth. And the third critical structural point is limited liability. There's no particular reason that there should be a particular class of organization, a particular class of people that are not as accountable as the rest of us for the consequences of their actions. So if we limit size, if we eliminate absentee ownership, when we eliminate limited liability, we have effectively eliminated the limited liability publicly traded corporation. Now, this is not going to come about easily, but, you know, as we're talking about, we withdraw our energy, we walk away from it, we need to continue the resistance movements wherever necessary, and we need to work on political fronts. Although I've been trying to emphasize this walking away, the growing into being the new economy, that's only one tactic, and I want everybody to be very clear that, you know, part of the genius of civil society and our movements is that we are so diverse and that we take many, many different tactics, and they all add up to creating a great deal of problem for the power holders. On population, I spent, population was a major focus of my attention in the 1970s. I was known as perhaps the leading expert on the management of family planning programs in the mid-70s. I consider population to be an extraordinarily important problem. But we're very limited in the number of ways we can deal with it. We certainly should be making family planning services available to every person who wants them. But beyond that, it's basically working for female education and for economic security and equity are the major interventions by which we can address that problem. Pardon? Oh, you want to educate the males too? Oh. Well, I wasn't thinking about family planning education, but it's well understood that, you know, educated women tend to, anyhow, we're all for male education too, I think. I'm not like Kevin here. I'm not trying to pander to the women, you know. He's so handsome. On shopping as an act of patriotism, I guess I pretty much disagree with George W. on about every way he defines patriotism. I think along with Kevin's comments, one of the things that some of us have come to realize is, you know, many of us on the progressive side have developed a kind of an aversion to the American flag because it is so often associated with the American bully, the violence, militarism, and so forth. But there's another way of looking at it. The flag also rightfully stands for the deepest of American values of commitment to democracy, to freedom, for the respect of rights of others, for concern for the weak and dispossessed. And I think one of the things we must do is reclaim the flag, reclaim patriotism around those deepest of American values. We cannot allow the other side to claim our flag.
How about a new flag?
Yeah.
Well,
many flags.
Maybe so, but I'm one who would urge that we reclaim our flag as it is, because where I came to understand this was right after September 11. There's a lot of question about why is America so hated? And some people pointed out, I think quite correctly, that we need to make a distinction. that in fact much of the world loves Americans, and I say that as a person who's lived all over the world. What they hate is our government and what our government does in our name. And we need to make that distinction and recognize that the flag can either stand for us and our values, or it can stand for our government and the many terrible things that it does. And we need to reclaim the flag. We also, by the way, need to reclaim our government. On the issue of diversity, I thank you, I applaud you for your comment, because I must tell you that I have become increasingly disturbed that virtually every gathering that I speak to is like this gathering. It is virtually all white. And I've been involved in a process with the Positive Futures Network. We've been doing a series of retreats with leaders from movements, progressive movements from across the country. We put a lot of emphasis on diversity. And these gatherings turn out to be the most diverse gatherings that I experience in my life. And they are magical. It is incredible what happens, how it changes the energy when we get together. It's not easy to do. But part of the awakening that's happening to us as we experience this is recognizing that if we're going to truly build political power for change, we must build a movement of the whole. And it means we have to reach out and understand the issues of people of color. I'm not going to go into all what we do, because I'm not even sure myself how we do it. But we need to engage that conversation, and we must get beyond that. I mean, what we see here is the reality of apartheid in America. And none of us are racists, I'm sure. And yet we are all part of a system of institutional racism that is absolutely intolerable. And the fact that with such a predominance of white faces in this room also reflects the extent to which our social movements are also an expression of apartheid, and we simply cannot tolerate that. Well, the tactics in light of September 11th, I mean, certainly we must keep the resistance alive. I really like the idea that we should continue to instill such uneasiness in the power holders that they will continue to hold their meetings in Qatar, or perhaps they might find a space platform someplace. Wonderful symbolism that they do not want to see the face of democracy, but we must, as Kevin has noted, we must be absolutely hold to nonviolence. But I also think we need to move beyond the resistance. We must capture the initiative. We must be coming forward with large visions. I think more and more of our activities will be on the line of what Jim Hightower is advancing, an idea of Chautauquas, conversations around the country, organizes very large gatherings with a lot of emphasis on racial diversity, a lot of singing and dancing and music and street theater and good conversation and fairs, and Kevin is doing this sort of thing, where we're beginning to celebrate the world that can be, as well as coming forward with our public policy initiatives. In terms of, I very much appreciate the plug for when corporations rule the world. I want to note, in terms of websites, the material on living economies and a lot of other writing around these subjects I talk about, you can find on my website, which is www.pcdf, as in People Centered Development Forum.org. Violence against animals is part of the culture of violence that is pervasive. It's culture of violence against people, violence against women, violence against minority, violence against animals, violence against the earth. We must create a nonviolent society, absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kevin and David.